so much that's going on in our world. God, what a privilege this is to be able to meet together in this building as sisters in the Lord. And God, I pray that as we have this time together, that your Holy Spirit will continue to minister to us, that you would continue to draw our hearts, Lord, and that we would continue to keep our priority where you want it to be, on you and your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, so this week we're looking at the pattern of a devotional life in a place of quiet rest. That's the book we've been going through. I wanted to mention that so it's on tape, that we've been going through that book. And we're on chapter 5, and the theme for that chapter is getting started. Because I know there's been a few of you that have said that I want to put the Lord first thing in the morning in my life, but how do I do that? You know, how do I practically do that? So from this chapter on, it's going to, you'll find each chapter you're reading becomes very practical now. How to, you know, we've heard a lot. Okay, so how do we now put this into practice? And what you're going to notice is on the handout for the homework for September 1st, I attached to that a transformation worksheet. I'm not sure if I've given that to you before. But again, that will help you to come up with a game plan to start moving in that direction. And how can I start putting the Lord first before I do anything else in my day? You know, how can that work for me practically? So you'll notice that was there. I know this is kind of repetitive, but it's kind of like a little review from Mark 1, verse 35. We read about Jesus' prayer life, and we've talked a lot about why he would get up very early in the morning while it was still dark, right, to spend time with the Father. And we have seen why that was essential for him, because the minute the crowds heard Jesus was here or there, or wherever he might have been seeking the Lord, crowds were already moving in that direction to wherever he was, because they either needed a healing, deliverance from demons, whatever it was. Once they knew Jesus was in town, they would go after him. So he got up very, very early in the morning before daylight. We see that in the scripture. There are some quotes there that I thought were really good to read through and go through again with you all. It was in the chapter that we read. Thomas Watson, he was alive in 1620 through 1686. And he said, the best time to converse with God is before worldly occasion stands knocking at the door to be let in. The morning is, as it were, the cream of the day. Let the cream be taken off and let God have it. Horatius Bonar, he was alive in 1808, and he lived till 1889. He said, begin the day with God. He is thy sun and day. His is the radiance of thy dawn. To him address thy day. Sing thy first song to God, not to thy fellow man, not to the creatures of his hand, but to the glorious one. Charles Spurgeon said, he was alive in 1834 from 1892, it is a good rule never to look into the face of man in the morning until you've looked into the face of God. How many here can say amen to that? And then, I don't know if, how many of you have heard of Streams in the Desert, written by L.B. Cowman. She was alive in 1870 through 1960, and she said, the morning watch is essential. You must not face the day until you have faced God, nor look into the face of others until you've looked into his. Sounds a lot like what Charles Spurgeon said. You cannot expect to be victorious if the day begins only in your own strength. Face the work of every day with the influence of a few thoughtful, quiet moments with your heart and God. Do not meet with other people, even those of your own home, until you first met with the great guest, an honored companion of your life, Jesus Christ. Meet him alone. Meet him regularly. Meet him with his book, with his open book of counsel before you, and face the regular and irregular duties of each day with the influence of his personality definitively controlling your every act. So how many here would say they need what we just read from Streams in the Desert? I do, for sure. I think we all do. So what we see each one of these saints had in common, with Jesus being our example, whether they lived in the 1600s, 1800s, 1700s, even 1900s, 2000, is they all saw their need to put God first in their day. They all saw. How much more us in the days that we're living in, with everything that's going on all around us? I mean, it seems like each day the news reports get worse and worse and worse. And we know where it's all heading. But if this generation ever needed God, we need God. And we need to put him first. And I believe that's why the Lord laid this on my heart to go through this class, because he wants to help us. He wants to help us during this time. But we've got to be intentional. And we keep hearing that word too. We've got to be intentional, meaning we have to do. Not keep hearing, oh yeah, 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 I know, I agree. But we need to do. It's time to do, not just hear. So we saw in the scriptures that was in your homework assignment for last week, over and over again, the same theme that we're seeing in some of these saints' quotes that I read to you. Psalm 5, verse 3 said, "My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up." Psalm 88, verse 13 says, "But to you I have cried out, O Lord, and in the morning my prayer comes before you." Psalm 57, verse 8 and 9 says, "Awake, my glory, awake, lute and harp. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you. O Lord, among the peoples, I will sing to you among the nations." Psalm 119, verse 147 says, "I rise before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. I hope in your word." And if ever we need hope in God's word, we need hope in his word in these days that we're living in. Psalm 143, verse 8 says, "Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning. Before I hear anything else, Lord, cause me to hear your loving kindness. For in you do I trust." I'm seeing I can't trust in anything else. "In you I will trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk." God, we need your wisdom in that way in the days we're in. "For I lift up my soul to you." Psalm 50, verse 4, it's a prophecy about Jesus. Isaiah said, "The Lord has given me the tongue of the learned," talking about Jesus, "that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary." We need that, don't we? There's a lot of people weary. There's people out there wandering, trying to make sense of everything they're seeing and hearing. We need to say, "Lord, help me to know how to speak a word in season to this brother or the sister that's wondering what's going on right now. Why am I even here? I don't understand the times and the seasons." If we spend time at his feet, we'll find that the Lord will give us what to say. He will reveal to us through his word what's going on right now. God's word is unfolding in the earth. The prophecy further says, "He awakens me morning by morning, and he awakens my ear to hear as the learned." And that was prophecy about Jesus. That was insight into Jesus' time with the Father, which is so awesome. Because we see that whenever Jesus spent time with the Father was giving him instruction for the day. "I want you to go to this city. I want you to go to that city." And who knows? Maybe God was showing him certain people to go to. Because how did he know them so well in this situation? Well, he's the Word made flesh. He's God Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So he knows everything. But it's amazing how a good example of that, I think about the woman at the well in Samaria, right? Jesus knew he had to go there. He knew to be there at a certain time. He knew at that certain time that woman would be coming. And he sat there waiting for her because he had a word for her. He saw her heart. He saw the cry in her heart. And he knew the Father was sending him to her. And he also knew she was going to respond. He also knew she would go back to the city where from she came from and tell everyone that he is the Messiah. He told me everything I knew. Could this be him? He knew that. He knew she'd be the first evangelist, woman evangelist. Isn't that something? To proclaim the Messiah. To others that she wanted them to know him. So God wants to speak to us in that way. Reveal things to us in that way. But it comes as we spend time in our prayer closet with him, that he does give us that word. He does direct us. He does show us who he wants us to be pouring into. He also shows us who not to. Who not to. Why in the morning, I had there. There is a poem written by Ralph Spalding Cushman that was in the chapter we just read. And he said, I met God in the morning when my day was at its best. And his presence came like sunrise, like a glory in my breast. All day long, the presence lingered. All day long, he stayed with me. And we sailed in perfect calmness over a very troubled sea. Other lives were blown and battered. Other lives were sore distressed, but the winds that seem to drive them bring to us a peace and rest. Then I thought of other mornings with a keen remorse of mine, when I too had loosed the moorings with the presence left behind. So I think I know the secret, learned from many a troubled way. You must seek him in the morning if you want him throughout the day. Isn't that beautiful? This was his testimony. You know, it's a poem he wrote, but it's obvious it was his testimony. He saw what it was like to not seek the Lord first in the morning, but then he saw what it was like when he did. You know, and we all have the same testimony, right? We see the difference the Lord makes in our lives and in our inside world. I want to say mainly in our inside world, because sometimes we get anxious, worried, and fearful because we're not securing God's presence inside in the way we need him. You know, where we lose sight of him in the midst of the craziness of everything we're seeing now, all around the world. I mean, it's global craziness going on right now. But you can have peace in the midst of it because you realize, God, you're sovereign, you're in control, this doesn't take you by surprise. You knew this was going to happen. You tried to tell your people from the Old Testament to the New Testament these things were going to take place. We're just seeing it. We're the generation that's seeing it come to pass. So we shouldn't be surprised. And that should give us comfort, peace, and hope inside, knowing that, God, you are in control. Even though it seems like it's totally out of control, falling apart, it's not. Because if it was really falling apart and really out of control, it'd be a lot worse than what it is now. But it's not. So we need the Lord in that way in the morning to help us to see right. So as we go throughout the day, what we see is God's word unfolding in the earth. We remember what the prophets said, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Daniel, all the prophets, the book of Revelation, Jesus. We should be looking out into our world and seeing scripture come alive. We're living through scripture right now. And that gives me comfort that I'm a witness of these things. So are you. We're witnessing what we've heard was going to happen in the last days. We're seeing it. So we see in Luke 5, verse 16, Jesus withdrew often meaning this was a consistent practice in his daily life. He did it often. In the Old Testament, there are numerous illustrations of the necessity of meeting with God on a daily basis. For example, let's look at the wilderness. For 40 years, right, God's people wandered in the wilderness en route from Egypt to the Promised Land. 40 years they were wandering. And God provided manna for them, right? They ate food that came down from heaven. But each person, think about this, each person had to go alone daily to gather his portion. And that portion would sustain him physically for that day. And then the next day he had to go and do it again. And he did this for 6 days. On the sixth day he would gather a little extra to carry him over for the seventh day. But what you notice is each person had to go gather their manna alone. And it's amazing how God gave them exactly what was needed for each individual to have his needs met for that day. And if you remember Deuteronomy 8:3, we were told man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So how does this apply to us today? Jesus is the bread of life. He's the Logos, the word of God that became flesh. And he told us, right, to pray to the Father, give us this day our daily bread. Right? Because he knew we need bread to sustain us not only physically, but spiritually. Our souls need spiritual nourishment every day. And when we read what he said, because he repeated it too, he said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Father. He knew we had to collect our manna, as it were, daily from the Lord for ourselves. We can't rely on other people to gather it for us. Because I think about how many people maybe you once looked up to that they're no longer in your life. So what happens when they're no longer in your life? Does your spiritual life fall apart because of that? It shouldn't. If you're rooted and grounded in the Lord and in his word, that shouldn't make a difference whether they're in your life or not, because you're drinking from the fountain of life. You're digging for the wells of living waters. If we look at the daily routine that the Old Testament priests had in the temple, what we see in the temple and at the entrance of the Holy of Holies, they would stand by the altar. We'll look at that now. We looked at the wilderness, but now look at the temple. In Exodus 30, verse 7 and 8, Aaron was to burn fragrant incense on the altar every morning when he tended the lamps. And he also had to burn the incense again when he lit the lamps at twilight. So in the morning and at twilight. So this incense would be burned regularly before the Lord. Every morning and every night, the incense, which represent prayer and praise unto the Father, were ascending up to the throne of God. The oil lamps had to be kept burning continually. Sacrifices had to be made, right? This is all took place in the temple. The showbread had to be replaced. Yesterday's manna was no good for today. Then the priests had to be cleansed. And just look at us. We have to collect our manna, right, every day from the word of God. But two, we need cleansing every day. We need cleansing from the blood. The blood of Jesus cleanses us. But two, we need cleansing from the word. The word washes us, right? God's word corrects us. When we have the wrong attitude, or we're not seeing things right, or maybe we're veering off and running after the wrong things, and he corrects us and says, hey, what are you doing? You know, you're trying to mix here oil and vinegar. You can't. Right? He corrects us, and it's a good thing. He disciplines those he loves. So we see that in the temple, every morning and every evening, day in and day out, over and over again, they had to repeat this process. Right? They had fellowship with God. And it's easy. We saw what happened with them. It got into a routine. It became a ritual. So that's something we have to guard against, that I'm not doing this because I have to do this. I have to do my 15 minutes. I have to do my 20 minutes. I got to do my half hour. I got to do my hour. I got to do my two. I'm just doing this because I have to do it. Like we talked about, right? Checking off the box. Okay, I did it. Now the rest of the day is mine. That's not why we do it. We do it for intimate, to have that intimacy with God, intimate relationship. We look at Moses, right? Moses in the tent of meetings, that was a solitary place where God would call his servants to come. In Exodus 33, verse 7 through 11, Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp. Notice it's outside the camp, far from the camp. And it was called the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the Tabernacle of Meeting, which was outside the camp. Again, it's away from everyone. So it was whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle that all the people rose, and each man stood at his tent doors and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose and worshiped, each man in his own door. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to a friend. Wow, wouldn't you like that written about you as your epitaph? Right? What would your epitaph be? That was Moses's. And he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. So he was already setting an example to the next leader of Israel, to Joshua, the importance of seeking the Lord first, putting him first before anything, going away from the crowds, just like Jesus did, even though Jesus wasn't alive at that time. But you notice the pattern. They go outside, away, so they can hear from God, so God can speak to them. In Exodus 34, verses 2 and 3, we see the call of God there. It says, so be ready. He told Moses, be ready in the morning and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai and present yourself to me there on the top of the mountain. And no man shall come up with you. And let no man be seen throughout all the mountains, neither let flocks or herds feed before the mountain. So Moses would go up to the mountain to meet with the Lord. God called him to come by himself. And what we see is God would reveal himself to Moses in those times. He would also reveal his will for his people in those times. Well, don't we serve the same God? God wants to reveal himself to us in those times. He wants to reveal his will to us during those times. In the New Testament, Jesus modeled this for us. Jesus went out to a solitary place. We read that in Luke 4, verse 42. He knew the importance of getting away from the crowds in order to sustain an intimate relationship with his Father while he was here in the world and to seek his assignment for that day. God has assignments for each and every one of us. He has an assignment for us. But we've got to take that time. I know life is busy. I know there's a lot of distractions. Trust me, I know. I know when a certain time of day comes, people know you're up and the phone can start ringing and the texts start coming or the emails start coming or the GroupMe starts bing, 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 bing. Right? I mean, that's just life. But is God more important? Our relationship with him more important than any of that? Because, you know, that's the only really important relationship there is here on planet Earth. is our relationship with Him. Why do I say that? Because we're going to spend eternity with Him. And we could be in eternity now with Him. So what we learn is that whether it was the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, the wilderness, I mean, everything we looked at, it's usually some distance away. Away from the crowd, away from the traffic of people. It's a place set apart for meeting with God. And practically, there was a handout I gave out early on. I don't remember which class it was. But trying to find a place where you can have that is just for you and the Lord, free of distractions. And I don't know how many have been intentionally thinking about that or have intentionally implemented that. But it really does make a difference, because you'll notice if you stay in a certain place where there's other people, there's distractions, right? There's all kinds of distractions. So we've got to see, okay, this is not working. So what do I have to do to not be distracted so I can really, I don't want to say feel His presence, because we're not talking about feelings here, because what will happen is if you don't feel it, you won't do it. So we're trying not to focus on that. But just you want to connect with the Lord. Know that God has spoken to me today through His word. He has spoken to me, whether through creation or through, I don't know, something that I see out there. God is speaking to me right now, telling me not to worry about life, not to be fearful of the future, not to be in unbelief, to trust Him. We have to secure His presence in that way, where we know He has spoken to us for us first. And then what you'll find is He'll use you to take that message to encourage someone else, to encourage them in the faith that they're struggling with. Maybe they got a bad phone call from back home and things aren't going well for some reason. We know how to minister in those times because we've been ministered to by the Lord, right? The same comfort we have received from the Lord, we're able now to give it out to other people too. Nancy Lee DeMoss Wolgamoth, I love this quote. She said, "There is a strange strength conceived in solitude. Crowds go in flocks and wolves in packs, but the lion and the eagle are solitaires. Am I saying that right? Strength is not in bluster and noise. Strength is in quietness. How opposite we have that here. And really, as I read that quote, I thought about what Isaiah 40, verse 29 through 31 says, which is really scriptural, what she's saying. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." And some of us might be fainting or feeling like we're dragging ourselves because we're not doing what we're reading here. You know, so this is not to condemn anyone. This is just like a wake-up call to say, hey, I need to get it together here. I need to be spending time with the Lord and getting at His feet and letting Him minister and calm down my inside world, and all the more as we see the day approaching. Jesus is still on the throne. There was another quote that said, "There are dimensions to our time with God that cannot be nurtured nor sustained in a crowd." There are dimensions to our time with God that cannot be nurtured nor sustained in a crowd. In your homework, there was a portion of scripture there from Song of Solomon that Diane was sharing with me earlier, how the Lord ministered to her in that, where we see how the bridegroom desires his bride in this way. In Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 10 and 14, what was the main thing that was said there? I don't know if someone can shout it out so we can hear you, because we have a different setting here. Come away with me. Rise. What was he calling her, though? How did he see her? My love, my fair one, my beautiful one. What did he want to hear and see from her? Her face and her voice. Yes, her face and her voice. That's how the Lord feels about you. I know it's hard to believe. I mean, that's what some were sharing, how it's hard to believe. He really wants to see my face and he really wants to hear my voice. Yes, he does. He loves us. He loves being with us. I love that about him. I mean, every time I hear that, it's like, well, why wouldn't I not want to be with you? You know what I mean? I mean, with that kind of love, why would I say no? Because there is no other love like his that's so pure and holy. See, the objective to cultivating an intimate relationship between you and the Lord is intentional. I'll say it again. It's intentional. We know he longs for us in this way, right? We see it throughout Scripture. But we see it in our services, too. I mean, can you hear him calling out to us in the midst of craziness, in the midst of our own choosing to rebel against him and turning our back on him? Yet he's still calling out to us. He wants us to come away with him, to be with him. He's eager to spend intimate time with him. We don't understand that kind of love, but we don't have to understand. Just embrace it and grab him in that way. Because he's offering himself to you, to me in that way. We heard he wants to hear our voice. He wants to see our face. Just as a husband and wife spend time away from friends, acquaintances, and even their children at times for a date night. Think about how that is, you ladies that are married, that have children. When you have your date night with your husband, isn't it wonderful? Yeah. I can see it in your faces. I want more. I wish I had more, right? Well, how much more without heavenly bridegroom, right? I feel the same way, being a full-time ministry. I feel like we're always doing, giving, giving. And it's like sometimes I just want to take my husband and say, let's just go away somewhere for a while and turn everything off. Well, it's just us two. I mean, we all. But you know, that's how the Lord feels about us. He feels that way about us. I love this quote, and I'm going to close with it. And then we're going to have our discussion time. Donald Whitney, in his book, Spiritual Disciplines, I love this. Think of this. The Lord Jesus Christ is willing to meet with you privately for as long as you want. And he is willing, even eager, to meet with you every day. Suppose you had been one of the thousands who followed Jesus around for much of the last 3 years of his earthly life. Can you imagine how excited you would have been if one of his disciples said, the master wants us to tell you that he is willing to get along with you whenever you're willing and for as much time as you want to spend, and he'll be expecting you most every day. What a privilege. Who would have complained about this expectation? Well, that marvelous privilege and expectation is always yours. It's always mine. It's always ours. And Lord, I do thank you that you keep drawing our hearts. Lord, I'm so thankful for this time that you are giving us together. Lord, that in the midst of all the bad reports we hear, yet we can hear your voice calling us and drawing us to come away with you to that intimate place where there's peace and rest. Lord, thank you for all the examples you have given to us over the years, the saints that have gone before us, your example, Lord, Moses' example, Lord, just the priests in the tent of meetings example, Lord, they all knew how important it was to put you first in their generation and whatever they were facing. They knew we must seek after God because in reality, Lord, you are our only hope and you are the only answer for these days that we're living in. There is no other answer outside of you. Lord, we're very aware of that. So, Jesus, we just thank you for your Holy Spirit that is ministering right now to different hearts. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that continues to woo us and draw us, Lord. I pray as we have this discussion time, Lord, that you would continue to minister through the different women that are here tonight. Lord, use them to speak to each one of our hearts in the way you desire to, Lord. And I pray that we would just continue to trust you for our daily manna. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.